Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Knock on wood, winning it all by the outfield. We shall see. You know, I was telling Dana during the break, and this is just one of those things about getting older. When you're perusing through social media and you see that a guy that he was like a rock idol for you when you were a kid. He was in his 20s, and he's now 64.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Kiefer, the lead singer of Cinderella and guitarist, apparently turned 64 yesterday.
He was just a few years older than you back in the
80s.
And now he's like an old man, and you're still just a few years behind him.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the walk, dare I say, dance down memory lane that so many of us got to experience Friday night. I had a girlfriend who had a birthday, and the very last minute she texted, I said, "What are you doing? You know, happy birthday." She said, "Well, we're going to the fake Bee Gees show at the Uptown." A Bee Gees tribute band descended onto Kansas City and dropped so many hits. I don't even know where to begin, Scott. And you would have loved it. And
no,
let me tell you, yes, you would. And let me tell you why.
I know like three songs.
No, you don't. Every single song they had was a hit.
Really? Because you took MP with you. And before he left, I said to you, "Man, you must really care about her. Because this sounds like a horrible night."
We had so much fun. He did not know every word to every song like I did. But the montage that they did behind the tribute band, I think the name of the band is Staying Alive, a Bee Gees tribute band. The montage they had on the big screen at the Uptown was full of late 70s, early 80s references. It was the Jeffersons, Good Times, Three's Company, what was it called? Studio 54,
Studio
certainly.
54 was the big discotheque.
In New York City.
Oh, my gosh, Scott. They played Andy Gibbs hits, and every woman listening my age had that poster of that sexy little... Oh, my God, he was so sexy.
Keep it clean.
Yeah. He was so sexy. You remember the Teen Beat magazine posters?
Yeah,
I know
course.
You do. They did all of the Bee Gees hits, all of the Andy Gibb hits, and then on this montage screen, they had John Travolta, Grease, and all of the Saturday Night Fever montage. You forget the 70s, man. That was a decade.
It was a decade.
With the bell bottoms and everyone dancing out on the light up dance floor. It was so much fun.
Did they do Massachusetts?
They did.
Oh, I love that song.
There was,
I know that one.
There was not a hit that they did not do.
Do you like this picture of Andy Gibb?
Oh, he's so cute. And I had forgotten that Andy Gibb was betrothed to one Pamela of Dallas fame, Victoria Principal.
Married?
Well, they were together quite a bit. And if memory serves, she said to him, "If you do not give up the alcohol and maybe
drugs.
I'm going to have to leave you." And I think she did. And we lost him so young, Scott.
He died, I think, of a heart attack. He was 30 years old. He died in 1988.
Oh, he was such
a drug overdose?
Beautiful.
I'm looking
soul.
It up right now.
I think it was a heart attack. And the minute I read that, you know, ooh.
Back then.
I think.
So it says here, by early 1988, Gibb had seemingly beaten his drug addiction, regained his health, was ready to begin recording a new album. However, he still suffered depression over his breakup with Victoria Principal. According to Robin Gibb, his brother, it just went downhill so fast. He was in a terrible state of depression.
Yeah.
He slipped back into his alcohol habit, was receiving phone calls from brothers Maurice and Barry, with last-ditch efforts to get him to stop. He celebrated his 30th birthday in March of 88 while working on a new album. 2 days later, he was complaining of chest pains.
We lost him so young. But keep in mind, Scott, all of the members of that band, plus Andy, I know he was sort of the fourth on his own, but not. We've lost all of them except
Barry
Gibb.
Yeah, we lost Robin. We lost Morris. We lost Andy.
So all we have now is the tribute band. And I'm telling you, if they ever come back around or the Australian Bee Gees come back around, you could not keep me in my chair. It's one of those shows that every single song would start and I would go,
God,
I love this song.
I've been to shows with you. I know exactly. You don't even need to show me what you did. I already know.
Oh, my God, I love this song. And you forget how young John Travolta was.
That would have been more concerning if MP knew every word to every song or the what was true and he didn't know a single word to a single song.
Like Jive Talking. I'm sorry, the whole audience got up on their feet for Jive Talking.
I was a kid in the 70s.
Yes, I was too.
I was not allowed to go to Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, I was not either.
Too adult.
That was rated R.
My parents did get me the album, the soundtrack.
Dan, it was my first album.
When everybody got on their feet, did they have to use their walkers?
Wow. Maybe. Did not just say that.
Yes, I did.
And we're Jive Talking.
It was a mostly seated audience until some of the hits started, like Jive Talking, the ones that are boom, the beginning of Jive Talking, you can't not dance to that song. You might have to let her rip, Sam. When that song started, everyone, to the best of their ability, got up on their feet.
You can tell by the way I use my
You do not make fun of them.
I'm a woman's man.
I'm pretty sure he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Ugh. You make fun, but the Bee Gees were a force. The Bee Gees were Swift of the 70s.
Excuse me. I was there in the 70s, Dan.
Yeah, but you weren't paying attention.
Oh, man, I was. I had that album on my wall.
It's just your jive talking.
I used to ride my bike around my neighborhood singing these songs.
What came first, Saturday Night Fever or Grease? Because John Travolta launched into the stratosphere for both.
Saturday Night Fever came out first. That's what launched him.
So
are you sure?
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a tapioca pudding cocktail?
I cannot believe you're saying that. You watch your filthy mouth.
Tell me they took an intermission.
They did not.
So everybody could go empty out their Depends.
I will not take that talk from any of you. If they come around again, put that on your list of must-see shows. Must-see.
Do you know, in 850 CDs in my closet, and do you know how many of them are Bee Gees?
None.
How?
None.
Yeah.
How? Do you not have any of those hits? I think they have four greatest hits
because
one album cannot contain all the hits.
And the Bee Gees were so big that once they got into disco, they had already been around for like 15 years.
That was so good. It was so good.
All right. When did you say, Saturday Night Fever was first?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah. Grease came out in 78.
That's correct.
On the montage, my goodness, all of the Grease songs, they played Grease. But you saw Olivia Newton-John. I mean, that is the most nostalgic time. And maybe, Scott, that was when you were over in that country we're not supposed to talk about.
No, that was in the mid-80s.
Oh, okay.
I was in Anchorage, Alaska in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That other state I'm not allowed to talk about.
Love that you were not able, Dan, to watch Saturday Night Fever either, because that was beyond rated R.
Well, I did once I came of age, I was able to watch.
Once the parents walked out of the room.
I have never seen Grease.
What?
Oh, God.
Don't movie shame. We don't movie shame on this show.
You have two daughters.
I have never seen Jaws. I have never seen Grease. I have never seen Saturday Night Fever.
I don't know that it holds. Saturday Night Fever does not hold up. There's misogyny. There's violence.
It's a snapshot of a certain era. And so the story still kind of holds because it's kind of the same story that we see a lot of times.
They're trying to win a dance competition.
Yeah.
Which I do know something about that.
Yeah, but it was the 70s. We'll get to that later. That was a different time.
Oh, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we'll ever see anything like it, and that's probably a good thing.
Right. Definitely not that much chest hair ever again.
Well, there was a lot of chest hair on the montage.
So does fake Bee Gees, do they actually look like the Bee Gees?
Oh, yeah. They came out in the outfits and yeah. I will say this. The drummer was behind plexiglass, and I said at one point, do they think we're going to rush the stage?
So here's what that tells you
okay.
about that night. there were so many hearing aids in the audience that they had to pipe down the volume of the fake Bee Gees.
There were not hearing aids in the audience.
The only way to minimize the volume of the drums is to put that plexiglass up. It muffles the volume of the drums.
Okay, to not overpower
the rest of the band.
The three-part harmony now, that we all enjoyed for 2 hours.
When you're at a real concert, you'll note that a drummer does not have to be plexiglassed in because they're playing at a reasonable volume.
So at every bar on the main strip in downtown Nashville, I believe it's called Broadway, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, they have that same plexiglass because these stages are only, 8 feet deep, and you've got a bassist, a guitarist, a singer, and a drummer.
But Sam, the stage at the Uptown is pretty big.
Yeah, they didn't need it there.
All this talk of the Bee Gees, I'm going to have to pull that up on my Spotify.
You are welcome, Daniel.
Oh, how can you make your broken heart best to deflect?
But how Sam, deep is your love?
I really need to know.
New York mining disaster, 1941. Spicks and Specks from 66.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
You know how deep is your love. Oh, my God.
Thank you,
so
Sam.
So many hits. Thank There's you. Not time. We could play them on a loop all
know,
hour.
I do know how deep is your love. I know... whatever one it is where he goes, staying alive.
You love music. And so I'm sure that you can understand how good they were musically and how creative Barry Gibb was.
No. I don't have to appreciate the art to appreciate the artists.
Sure.
I can't stand Nirvana,
mm-hmm.
but I recognize what they did for music.
I believe they wrote Islands in the Stream because they did Islands in the Stream.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, Barry Gibb overhauled the music industry. He provided so much.
Sam's head's exploding.
Glorious
he just
head of
understand.
Hair.
I'm 135.
He was one
little
sexy SOB.
Don't know what good
music All right, we're going to break.
Thank God. Discovered in New Jersey by none other than John Bon Jovi, Cinderella. A story here from CBS News. Paul McCartney is urging the British government not to make a change to copyright laws that he says could let artificial intelligence companies rip off artists. The government in Britain is consulting on whether to allow tech firms to use copyrighted material to help train AI models unless the creators explicitly opt out. McCartney telling CBS News partner BBC that would make it harder for artists to retain control of their work and undermine Britain's creative industry. Quoting here from the 82-year-old former Beatle, "You get young guys, girls coming up, and they write a beautiful song, and they don't own it, and they don't have anything to do with it, and anyone who wants can just rip it off. Yeah. The truth is the money's going somewhere. When it gets on the streaming platforms, somebody is getting it. And it should be the person who created it.
Yep.
It should not be some tech giant somewhere."
Okay. Have you noticed in some of the television commercials, it's just now starting to seep in. Listen to the voice work in some of the ads, and you can tell it's a robot. If you really listen.
I've heard it. So
the way we talk to each other, even in an ad, the way we talk, mm-hmm. has a certain cadence to it and a certain inflection, right? A couple of the ads, and one of them was over the weekend. It doesn't even matter what it was for, but I looked at MP and I go, listen to that. That is fake. That is an AI robot reading that. Here's how you tell. At the very end of every sentence, there is this clipped, bizarre cadence where the sentence just stops. And I'm going to do it here for you so you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
In a way that human language, we don't do that, okay? So if I was reading,
give me this story.
It's the last couple of words of every sentence start, and I think one of them was a commercial for a prescription drug. This says, a Georgia man has been trying to get a refund for months after he says he ordered a drill but never received a printed photo of one instead. Okay, that's the story. The AI would say, a Georgia man has been trying to get a refund for months after he says he ordered a drill but received a printed photo of one instead. Instead of going down instead, it's just this clipped, weird stop. Almost monotone at the period. And then the next sentence, it's kind of all jumbled.
Well, so naturally, the human cadence, depending on the punctuation at the end of the sentence, we will either go up or down.
Yes.
Question and exclamation point, we typically go up. Period, we typically go down.
That's right.
We never stay flat.
Now, soon, they will figure out how to make it more conversational. in the ads that you are hearing. I do and I don't have a problem because the artists need to be protected, and that's even the voiceover artists need to be protected.
Sure.
But in music, it is so much more egregious to me if someone is ripping off or using a computer for the lyrics.
Now, hang on for a second, because a lot of music
is synthesized.
Is totally
yes.
plastic, synthesized garbage, quite frankly. But there's somebody who's actually making that garbage. My concern is when you start ripping off people's voices. And we had the one, Sam, I can't remember who it was, but they injected Eminem into their performance.
Sounded just like him.
Yeah, David Guetta, or however you say
that's right,
name.
David Guetta, that's right. And he was performing in Paris, if memory serves, and in the middle of one of his songs, he pipes in a sound-alike AI version of Eminem.
This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground. This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground.
I mean, that's clearly Eminem's voice.
Yes, but he was allowed to do that. Sam, explain this to me, because it was only done once in a live show.
That is correct. Since he did not try to copyright the music in any way, shape, or form, he was just being performative as a DJ in that moment. If he were to put that in a song, he would owe Eminem some money.
But he profited off the live performance that included an AI version of Eminem.
But his voice, Eminem's voice in and of itself is not copyrighted. But to try to put it, to try to copyright his voice is where you would be in violation.
It's a mess. Because
Does that
how,
make sense?
At some point, sort of. The courts are going to have to decide what is protected art and what is, quote, art you can either rip off or replicate.
Right. I mean, look.
This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground.
No, let me give you an example, and I'll use Prince because it's the easy and obvious one. Prince was a prolific writer and performer. But let's say that they've mastered creating Prince's voice in AI, all right? But they find lyrics that Prince wrote but never put on tape.
Yeah.
I mean, are we looking at a scenario where somewhere down the road I get on Spotify and there's a new Prince song that he never sang but wrote?
That's a thorny but an easier example because he's dead.
And Prince's family will do that.
Oh, they'll do anything for a buck. Believe you me.
I would bet that they are already working with AI companies to try to do that because of how deep his vault is.
Wouldn't you say, though, Sam, as an artist, it's up to you now in this thorny new world that we live in to write that stuff down? And I don't mean the lyrics. I mean write down what your wishes are. And if your wishes are in death, I don't want anyone using my name, image, or likeness. Don't we have to abide by that?
If I'm not mistaken,
Travis. It was James Earl Jones, I think, is one of the actors who said, you can keep using my voice. Am I wrong?
I believe he did sign with Lucasfilm to continue as
yes.
Darth Vader in death.
But he is agreeing to that. And I think there are other artists who would say, I don't want you doing that.
Now, Randy Travis did sign off and work directly with an AI company yep. to make his new song because he cannot sing anymore.
It's actually not a half bad song. He wrote it. He worked with them and he gave them permission to AI recreate his voice. He never sings. Sam, can you pull that song up?
That is a slippery slope.
But he agreed to it. And I'm trying to find the song, the name of it.
Came from.
Where that came from. Okay. Let's listen to it. You remember Randy, you know, forever and ever.
Yes.
This is not, when Sam gets it going, this is not Randy Travis singing. It's AI, but he did write the lyrics. He did agree. He did cooperate with the creation of this song. Sounds just like him. And that is not him.
But with his blessing, that is an entirely different scenario.
But it's cheating.
Okay, but, you know, there are artists, let me name, Jessica Simpson.
All right, fair point.
Who became very famous, and I don't know that, did she ever really sing anything? I'm asking, did she ever really sing anything without
Britney Spears.
Heavy backup and heavy synthesization, all of that stuff?
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Not the Beach Boys.
But it's so good.
Morgan Freeman's voice is AI'd quite a bit. That's true. And even Tom Kane did a Morgan Freeman commercial as Morgan Freeman.
Prior to that, it wasn't always Morgan Freeman anyway.
No, it was sometimes Tom Kane who would do the specs, what we call a spec spot in this business, just to make sure it timed out right before they brought Morgan Freeman in for his reading. And one time they sent it to Morgan Freeman with Tom Kane impersonating Morgan Freeman. It was a Capital One commercial, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And Morgan Freeman said, just let him do it. He sounds just like me. And that Capital One commercial you heard was Tom Kane and not Morgan Freeman.
Which is different because they had an agreement.
And Tom Kane got paid.
You watch a lot of reels, Scott, and yeah. I have seen you watching different inspirational reels with the voice of Denzel Washington.
Or Anthony Hopkins.
Now, some of those are actual clips from Denzel Washington commencement speeches, but mm-hmm. most of them are just scripts that random people wrote up and used AI to make it sound like Denzel.
Anthony Hopkins is another one who is often imitated by AI voices. 913-586-7798. I'm telling you right now, and I don't fear AI because I know that it has some redeemable qualities, but I think we're going to get into a really scary place when it comes to media, where I don't know whether to believe that that is really what a president said or a senator said or a foreign leader said. Yeah. You know, I mean, what if they AI'd Vladimir Putin? I'm sure somebody's already done it. And he goes on TV, and it's not Vladimir Putin, but we will begin launching missiles, nuclear missiles, at the United States in 5 minutes.
Well, not to toot my own horn, but this is exactly what I was saying I was concerned about like 2 years ago when we first started hearing about AI, was the downfall of using this technology to launch thermonuclear war. There are 15 different TV shows specifically about that.
That is a legitimate, scary thing. Or, you know, somebody, I'm not going to say, I'll use an older president.
It could be any political person, mm-hmm. any country.
Saying things, doing things that they never said and never did.
Bring it closer to home. We had a principal in our stack within the last year mm-hmm. where some of the students thought it would be funny to AI him saying abhorrent things. It
racist
was not him.
Things.
Yep, it was not him.
He lost his job, didn't he?
Yeah, but he got it back.
He was able to prove that it was AI.
Yeah, but he was seen in this video or audio clip, I don't remember which, it may have been both, using the N-word. He never did that. And he was fired, and then he was somehow able to prove that it wasn't him, that it was a group of students, and he got his job back. 913-586-7798. Jim in Topeka. Jim, hello.
Hello there. I'm glad you played to Randy Travis that sounded like Randy Travis. And the one thing that they came out in the news report or special later about the AI and Randy Travis was they got it nearly perfect on that song, but they haven't been able to duplicate it since. So there hasn't been more Randy Travis imitations out there. And yes, this AI deal it's turned everybody into rich little that you can mimic and sound like anybody you want to. So the world has got a whole lot more suspicious about a lot of things. And but let's focus on it's not perfect because they can't duplicate it all the time.
Well, not yet. The day is coming.
Well, keep in mind, we were seeing Tom Cruise and the original term before AI came into the conversation.
Was deep fake. That's right.
And we were seeing Tom Cruise deep fakes 12 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
I was in high school.
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
And I remember playing one of those not too long ago. You were already on the show, I believe. And there were people writing on the text line, that doesn't sound anything like him. I thought it did.
Not even sounding like him. It was a video of him. It looked like Tom Cruise was saying mm-hmm. these things, and it was never Tom Cruise saying them.
The scary thing is somebody does this, like in the case of the principal who had done nothing wrong, it is then on you to prove that you didn't say something. It is then on you to like prove, right. which is going to cost time and money while you've been fired, by the way, to prove that that is someone doing something awful without your permission to your voice or your likeness, that it was not me.
And by the way, the common understanding of AI is just generative AI, which is essentially a souped up search engine. The AI that you can pay for, the really advanced stuff that's already out there, you can make a video of anybody saying anything, and it looks very, very real.
And let's realize that we've already seen AI used in media. For example, not to go all Star Wars on everybody, but at the end of Rogue One, which was one of those, it's an official Star Wars movie, but it's not one of the actual nine. It takes place between episodes 3 and 4. And it came out like 7 or 8 years ago. At the end of the movie, they hand off the plans to the Death Star to a Princess Leia that looks like a 20-year-old Carrie Fisher.
Not her.
Not exactly. No, but close. God, no. I think she was already dead.
But close.
If I'm not mistaken, she was either already dead or soon to be dead. But this looked like a 20-year-old Carrie Fisher.
CGI. And when you have the power of AI behind CGI, the possibilities are limitless.
Yay.
Lucky us.
Anybody want a cupcake?
A story here from the New York Post. A Florida elementary school principal who once earned Teacher of the Year honors was arrested Friday after a raucous house party where around 100 teens allegedly downed booze.
Can you describe the raucous?
It was very raucous. Held inside of her home, Roosevelt Elementary School principal Elizabeth Brodigan and another teacher, Carly Anderson, who works at the same school, were both charged days after the wild bash on January 19th, so about a week ago. At least some of the young partiers were drinking alcohol that they got from coolers inside the home. One youngster even suffered a medical emergency tied to the drinking.
Could we just for a moment go back to the Chiefs, and there's a reason why.
Okay.
You just said raucous.
Raucous.
Which could also be described as a ruckus.
Correct.
If you go back to that game, Sam, you would have missed this. There was a fracas during the Chiefs game last night that the announcers described as a fracas. And I think if we've all learned anything on this program, thanks to Sam and his AI-generated voice woman person that corrects us when we say things that are wrong, it is fracas. Did you catch that last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. It was when Mahomes scored, someone got in his face and said, "Your mama," and then Kelsey went over and went, and then a guy headbutted Kelsey. And there were a couple of those during the Eagles game, too. The announcer said, "Wait, it appears we have a fracas down there." And I thought Sam would be losing his ever-loving mind because anyone who listens to this program now knows it is
fracas. Yes.
Somebody wants to know on the text line, was it turnt down there?
I think it was.
They were turnt?
They were certainly turnt.
Mm-hmm. You would have to be if you're going to get into a fracas.
Fracas.
Fracas?
Ruckus?
I think that's where people are going sideways. It's a ruckus and a fracas. It's not a rakus and a fracas.
Well, be careful on that second one. You scared me for a minute there.
I was just about to say, let's not go combining those words.
Got a little turnt.
I'm the wrong kind of turnt right now.
All right. Yeah, you're right. They've also used a younger version of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker in both The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett. That's right. On Disney Plus. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Seriously, Sam?
I hate this song. And I understand we have a commercial with a similar version of it, but I can't get this damned song out of my head.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
Lowrider drives a little slower.
Okay. I, Zer, they.
Get Diego and slower. Low rider is a little goer.
That song.
Auschwitz was liberated 80 years ago today.
Wow.
Look.
Are there any soldiers alive?
Soldiers?
who would have been there for, you know, I've heard in historical books that I read and other, you know, the reaction, oh my God, when some of the soldiers went in and saw the concentration camps. Would any of those soldiers be alive today? They would have had to have been, like, if they lied to get into the war, maybe.
Yeah, they would be in their late 90s by now, at the youngest. There are still U.S. Soldiers who served in World War II still alive, but...
Let me look it up.
I think it's
going to be a very small number.
Oh, and it gets smaller every day.
Sadly, no. The last surviving soldier who liberated Auschwitz has died. Soviet war veteran David Dushman, shown in 2015, was the last surviving Allied soldier involved in the liberation of Auschwitz. Oh. And that was posted in 2021. So let me see from NPR. Yeah, he passed away in June of 2021. Oh. Name was David Dushman.
You know, it is
98, by the way.
It is long thought that the Allies did not know. I mean, they knew that bad things were happening in Germany, but
there were rumors.
Yes, clearly. But it wasn't until, like, if you ever watch Band of Brothers, which is a true story, it is after I think Hitler's been killed or kills himself, and they stumble upon a concentration camp, the Americans do, in the 101st Airborne Division, and one of them who finds it goes running back to base camp and gets Major Winters. And he says, you've got to see it. You're not going to believe it. And they get into a Jeep, race back out to the concentration camp. They cut the gate. They go inside. And almost like zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because they had been left... You know, the Germans had fled, leaving them behind a locked fence.
Listen to this. Dushman was a legendary fencing coach and the last living liberator of the Auschwitz concentration camp, according to the International Olympic Committee. After the war, he helped train the Soviet Union's women's national fencing team for 4 decades and witnessed the attack by 8 Palestinian terrorists on the Israeli team in 1972, which resulted in the deaths of 11 Israelis, 5 Palestinians, and a German policeman. So there's got to be autobiographies or biographies about this man.
By the way, that incident at the murders at the 1972, I believe the games were in
Munich.
Munich, yeah. That is the subject of a movie that is either just coming out or is coming out soon, I believe called September 5.
Another movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's already in theaters or if it's about to be released, called September 5.
Yeah, the camp that the Band of Brothers, that they focused on, Kefering, was one of the sub-camps of Dachau.
And I've been to Dachau twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a sobering, sad, you know, and outside of all of the concentration camps was a wrought iron sign that said, Arbeit macht frei. Work
will makes
you free.
Free. Makes you free.
Mm-hmm.
I got to read a book about this, David Dushman. I'll send you this too, Dan. This is super interesting. But he was the last living liberator of Auschwitz and died in 2021.
Yeah, Auschwitz was liberated by the Soviets.
Correct.
As they were moving into Central Europe.
Heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States, according to a new report out today. The American Heart Association published a study in the journal Circulation. Dan, I think you subscribed to that one. Found that 941,000 Americans died from cardiovascular disease in 2022. That is an increase of more than 10,000 from the year before.
Wow.
What is one of the main causes of heart disease?
Diet.
Living.
Obesity. Number two is smoking.
It also means that a person in the United States dies of cardiovascular disease every 34 seconds, 2,500 people every single day.
That's why you're supposed to know CPR, share that knowledge, and know where your AEDs are located wherever you work or play. That includes the gym, the office. Where are those located?
Spot on.
Cancer and accidental deaths are causes 2 and 3 in the United States.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do accidental deaths include car wrecks? Or are we talking about slipping and falling in the bathtub?
I would assume so. I mean, you don't set out in the morning to get into a car wreck. According to this study, 72% of U.S. adults have an unhealthy weight. 42% of adults are obese, which is, of course, as Sam mentioned, the main problem, the main cause of cardiovascular disease. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.